2012, 9th of December, testimonies following Rwanda trip.
Well, it's nice to have Grace and Andrew back with us. And would they like to share from their experience and encourage us?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, as you know, our plans were to go out to Rwanda, to Kigali, the capital, and to be ministering in some churches out there. And some of you know we had horrendous opposition. We had what seemed at times like mountains to climb, difficulties to overcome. And we even got to a point where we were close to saying, we're not going. And then God said to me, full steam ahead. Amen. So we went full steam ahead. Amen. And even, you know, even during part of our time there, there was some difficulties that we wanted to take a couple of days break. And even that took about 5 or 6 days even to try and organise that. You know, in England, we've got it so easily. We jump on the internet and we say, OK, I'm going to go to this place. I want to book a hotel and a flight. And we jump on the internet and we just click, click, put the dates in, click, click. And within a few minutes, you print out your ticket for the hotel. You print out your ticket for the aeroplane. Job's done. No way. Don't work like that in Rwanda. You get one piece of paper and then you're still trying to find somebody else to give you the other piece of paper. And it's just, nothing's yet fully connected. And being patient as I am. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. It is a test of one's patience. And I think we cancelled these 2 days about 2 or 3 times by the time we'd done. And finally we made it. And we got to the airport and there's a young man behind the passport counter. So we show him our passports. He's flicking through and he says, where's your entry stamp? Now bear in mind, we're not leaving Rwanda. We're not going out the country, but he wants to see my entry stamp. I'm not leaving the country. I says, I don't know, it's in there somewhere. So he flicks through the pages of the passport, flicks through Grace's pages, and she's got stamps all over the place. It's an older passport, you see, mine's fairly new. He could not find this stamp. So he says, have you got another passport? I said, why would I have another passport? You know, I mean, it's like, I've only got one passport. That's it, you know. Because he gave it me back, so I threw it back to him. I said, you find it. You should know what it looks like, not me. And then he finally gave it back to me. He says, you haven't got an entry stamp. I says, they stamped him. I watched him stamp the passports when I came in at 2:30 in the morning, you know. So we're flicking through and Grace finds one and says, look, that's what it looks like. Find it. Well, this young kid sort of says, you know, I'm thinking, prior to that, we'd got electronic tickets printed out from the airline company that very morning. We get to the check-in desk and it takes us 3/4 of an hour to actually get boarding passes. We had to go through about 4 different people and I'm like, oh, Tel Aviv, you know, maybe we ain't going to fly this time, you know. So we just, it was all this build-up. Then this lad, he's the final straw, bless him. And he's sort of, you know, more or less saying, we're not going to go. So I looked at him and I just raised my voice slightly and took authority. And he backed off. He pushed his chair back. He went, you know. And said, it's all right, you can go. And this guard came around and says, is there a problem, basically? He said, oh, no, he can go. So we were just being messed about, basically. And I discovered afterwards that if they don't give a good customer service, these people can end up being sacked and put in prison. And so, you know, life is quite tough out there at times. I mean, thank God for Dharma's sister, where we stayed. It was a beautiful place. And but yet just over the wall was an area where there were fields that the local people were working in, their own small holdings like, and you could see houses that were Some of them probably were built out of some form of mud and bricks, etc. They probably didn't have full toilet facilities like we know. Where we were fine, things were great. If some of you have been on the internet, you saw the food, it was absolutely delicious what we were eating. In fact, we had to say, you know, can you just cut the size of portions down, please? Because something's going to burst somewhere. And, you know, thank God that we were so blessed in that area. And we had a fabulous time in one sense. More than one sense, but it was such an experience. We did finally get this two-day holiday, and we went to this tranquil place, so quiet, in the middle of a tea plantation, five-star hotel. And we got it for such a deal that, well, we stole the place, basically. And it was such a blessing, and there were Christians on the staff who were there, and we were talking and sharing with them, and it was such a wonderful privilege to be amongst them. The flights were good going out from Manchester to Istanbul and from Istanbul all the way to Kigali. We had no problems. Great planes were fantastic. The staff were fantastic on Turkish Airlines. We landed in Kigali. We went straight through, no problems. As bags arrived with us, thank God for that. And, you know, it's all those things that are a blessing. And then on the Sunday, we had two services in the main church of Apostle Joshua, and I think the first service there was about 400 or 500, and then the second service there was about nearly 2,000 people in it, and it was a double decker type building. There was a balcony, etc., and we had a great time. Well, I did anyway, I don't know about anybody else, but we had a great time, and God was good, and we had such an ease and a freedom to minister the word. And we had a break on the Monday. But then they let us know that they'd changed our schedule. You owe me big time. We preached in 15 plus services. You can laugh. Amen. Praise God. I took your turn as well. Hallelujah. And we had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday, we had four services starting at 8 o'clock in the morning and we finished about 8 o'clock at night. We had Monday off and then we had four services, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then we were sort of free after that, and then we went to a couple of services on the Sunday, didn't we, elsewhere. But it was a tremendous time. Second week, one of the churches we were in, Grace preached the first night. Second night I got there, all the power went out. So I wanted to preach somewhat in the dark. And third night, power went out. Fourth night, power went out, but the generator was back and running, sort of thing. It's like, okay, but the lights were on outside, but in the church, boom, everything went out, sort of thing. It's like, it was, you know, we were pushing through all the time. We just laughed and rejoiced because, hey, you know, God's in control. And as somebody says, well, it's Africa, so that's what you expect. And so it was a blessed time. We prayed with people and encouraged people. People came to us afterwards and they were sharing with us and we were sharing with them. And God just moved in such a wonderful way. There was such a freedom to minister the word. The great challenge is when you have to work each evening with a different interpreter. That is a challenge. The beauty when we go to Romania is I have Danny, who's my interpreter, and we just click, he does exactly what I do, and you know, it just flows easily. And the challenge is that when you meet somebody new, you've never met them before, and there's even a measure of even a slight difficulty between the languages. They speak English of some sort, and that's not a derogatory remark. They do far better than me. in one sense that they speak more than one language, etc. And these people were good. But one of the churches where we ministered for most of the time, there was a young man called, Henry. And Henry, bless him, he was as black as coal. Bless him. But he'd got such a lovely spirit about him. And he ministered with me in one of the first meetings. And then he disappeared, and I had two or three others along the way. And then he appeared again, and it's like, wow, he's back, you know. And we had a ball, and he did everything I did. If I laid down, he laid down. If I jumped off the platform, he jumped off the platform. If I jumped in there, he just followed me around. It was like that same spirit that just knitted together, we were one. And we had a tremendous time ministering the word together. And, you know, the people were just so open to receive the word of God. And they were so encouraged. Even with the, you know, I mean, even this scripture that we came up with just a few months, but beginning of the year, seek ye first the King of the kingdom, and all these things shall be added to you. And they all just, wow. Nobody had seen it before. And they just grabbed hold of these things. And it was precious time we had ministering there. And afterwards, we were praying with people, and people were just coming out, and the power of God was just coming on them. And we're ministering to them and sharing with them the word of God. And just sharing the preciousness of Jesus. On Saturday, the middle Saturday, I think it was, that we went out with a group of young people on a bit of a retreat, and they were just sharing with one another, and then we were asked to share with them, and it was such a blessing to be there. And God was speaking to them and bringing them forward and preparing them for their future. And I believe that one or two of these young people that we've met, they're contacts for the future in their future ministry in the work of the kingdom. And we thank God that we were able to meet with them. Even on the last day, they were still coming to see us and to wish us well and to pray with us and us to pray with them. And it was a precious time that God was just ministering through us and to us. And it was wonderful. When we went on that break, we saw to some degree a different side of Rwanda. Kigali is a city, and you get the rich and the poor, but the divide is much bigger than what we experience in England. And Kigali probably is the Toyota capital of the world. I have never seen so many Toyotas in all of my life. I don't think there's that many Toyotas in Japan. They're all over the place. You know, it was a case of, I think we saw one BMW, a Mercedes, two Land Rovers, and everything else had a Toyota badge on it. There was a Toyota there that we had years ago, that one of the first front-wheel drives, and I saw one of them there, and there were Toyotas of all sorts of shapes and sizes galore. And they said, well, the reason is that, one, they're such good cars. Two, that if they want spares, hey, all the parts are just about interchangeable. It was so easy for them. So, you know, it's the cheapest way of doing it for them in one sense. And then they have these little motorbikes, taxis. You know, now that is taking your life and giving it into somebody else's hands, I'll tell you. I mean, they are whipping in and out between these cars, these little 125 motorcycles, you know. And they're just amazing how they ride through the traffic. And the bigger you are, the easier it is to get through the traffic, basically, at times, you know. We had that experience one day. Somebody nearly pushed us off the road. But, hey, we had a wonderful time. The people there were wonderful to us. They were absolutely a blessing, both we went and met with some people in the Rwandan Development Board for the country, and again they were very open with us, and we've met with other people in the view to see where in the future we may be able to bring some assistance and some help. And so it was somewhat of a, it was interesting, but it wasn't a sort of a culture shock as much as I expected. It was much more, I hate to use the word civilized, but the place is not noisy, is it? I mean, we've been to places as we've travelled on holiday. I mean, Cairo, for once, is a place that never sleeps, it's never quiet, and all you can hear is beep, 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 all day, all night, you know, 24 hours a day, and you think, drive you crazy. Yet Kigali, it's not like that. Safe, you can walk even in the dark, on the streets at night. It feels so safe. It's tremendous how, but there's such a love for Jesus, there's such a love for God in that country at the moment. And the church is pushing forward, and you meet constantly meeting people who are Christians and believers, and are following the Lord Jesus, and it's so wonderful. You, no matter where you go, I always try and get in conversation with somebody. I will always bring up the subject of Jesus somehow. We were picked up on the 2-day break we had. We were picked up on the morning to go into the forest to do some bird watching and see some monkeys, and the young man that picked us up. This is quite amazing, really. He came and picked us up, and so I got into conversation with him and started telling him what we'd come over, what we'd been doing. He said, oh, I said, I go to church, I'm a Christian. Oh, right, yeah. And I told him at the church where we'd been at. He said, I go there. I said, what, in Kigali? No, he says, in Kimembe. Well, the pastor from Kimembe had been at the church 2 days before. And so I showed him a photograph of the Apostle Joshua. He said, yeah, that's Apostle. I said, yeah. And so we'd met a young man. We travelled 300-400 miles probably. And this, I just asked for somebody to take us that morning somewhere. And this young man arrives, and he's actually from the same group of churches. Yeah, yeah, it's like God makes an appointment and he keeps things. And God went before us in every way. All the time we felt safe, we felt protected. Yeah, we'd had the challenges, yes, in the preparation of going out there. But when we ministered to the people, they so received it, they received grace in such a wonderful way. In fact, when the apostle Joshua appeared at the church the first time, third night, I think, that we were there, Grace happened to be... She was going to be preaching, and she said to me, do you want to preach? She said, no. I said, you're down to preach. But he loved it. He loved it. He enjoyed the word. And the other church that we went to, well, the ladies just took to her, and, there's plans next time we go to do some ladies' meetings and things of that nature. So it was great. And the people were so open to receive the word of God and worship. Man, you should see him worship. Yeah. And it is not what you... You know, we've said in the past, we've been to places in England where the worship is so loud that the chest vibrates with the bass guitar. It wasn't like that. It was fairly loud, but it wasn't tiresome loud. It was real worship. These people, you could see, they loved the Lord and they wanted to sing and worship Jesus and give him all the praise and all the glory, and they just went for it. And we had a great time in the presence of the Lord, in the worship that went on. I mean, on one of the last days, the guy's on the keyboard, banging away on the keyboard, just listen to this one, Bill, and all of a sudden the stand collapses. No keyboard. So he just grabs the keyboard, slaps it onto a table and carries on as if nothing has happened. The keyboard, the thing had just, you know, the rest of things had just broken, basically, and they just carried on, you know, just praising God. And they were having a whale of a time in the presence of Jesus, and we were joining in with them, and we were dancing with them and just praising God. And somebody said to Grace, he's not white. He's not white. Because we've had speakers from England and America And he's not like them. He's not white. He's black inside. And I took that as a compliment, you know, because I just enjoyed being with them. I was just me. I was just me. I was no different. I was not restrained in any way, was I? I just carried on as if I was in church here. You know, when we went to the first church and there's like 2,000 people in the place, you know, you sort of think, how are you going to preach with 2,000? You know, what are you going to do? There's 2,000 people there, you know. And because I know some of you, when you get up, you think, oh, it's scary up here, isn't it? Well, to preach to one or two or 2,000, there's no difference. All you do is you just focus in on somebody that's listening to you. And you connect with them, and everybody else is just, you know, they're just listening in. And you and this other person just having a conversation about Jesus. And I did what I normally do. I just pick out some people that look like they may be interested. Hallelujah. I'll talk to them. If nobody else is interested, so what? You know, you can all leave. It don't matter. But me and that person's going to have a real time with Jesus. And we just did that, and we had a great time, you know, and glory to God. And the presence of the Lord was in the places, and it was wonderful to do that. On our way back, we'd finally took us a couple of days to 3 days, I think it took us to actually confirm our flights back, the seats and everything. Finally managed to do it about on the last day. Got my tickets printed off, got everything printed off. Got to the airport at midnight, went through all the usual security and what have you. Got to the check-in desk, and there's a young man from Turkish Airlines. There's two people from Kigali working the check-in desk and everything. And I said to this young man, I said, you look a bit harassed, are you busy? He said, yeah. He said, we had a flight cancelled last night. It was fog-bound. I thought, glad we didn't fly on Thursday, because we won't be going anywhere. So I said, all right, yeah. And then I hears a guy next door on the next ticket counter say to this counter person, we're not sat together, me and my wife, basically. So this young man from Turkey starts looking at the tickets, and he grabs hold of our tickets, and next thing it's like, and I'm watching, trying to find out. Because you've got to watch where your stuff goes, I'll tell you. Because when, you know, as I said before, we had three or four people go on one ticket, and we're like, who's got my ticket now? Who's walked off with it, sort of thing, you know. And you're trying to remember who's who, and they're all dressed in the same uniform, and you're thinking, now, was it her or was it her, you know. And you get to that point, you're just lost, so you just sit there and think, I'm just waiting, you know. And so by the time we're done, we finally get our tickets, and our bags go through, and I'm looking at the tickets thinking, I didn't book them seats. Sure, I booked a different number than that. Anyway, we've got us tickets. That's all that matters. So we're heading off to the plane. We're getting on the plane. And we've got seats 3E and 3F. So Grace is walking through, and she passes 3. She passes 4. She passes, and she's going for 5. I says, where are you going? She said, I'm looking for her seats. I said, well, it says here 3. I says, and 3 is here. And then she says, but it's business class. I says, 3 is here. I said, I don't care what it is, this is 3, and I'm sitting here. So we sat down in business class. You know, it was a case of just recline and everything, and bring on the gourmet meals. We're here, hallelujah. King's kids, we're in for a blessing. I mean, we bought the cheapest ticket, did we not, Dharma? I mean, we could not find a cheaper ticket than what we bought. And we came back business class, you know, 7.5 hours. Oh, hallelujah. And Grace says, what happens if the movers? I said, well, I'm just going to be, like, remember like that Egyptian guy we met? I flew on this seat when I came in, I'm flying out on it, sort of thing, you know. But no, we were in the right seats. The guy had upgraded us, and we never asked anything. Glory to Jesus. Talk about finding favor with God. So, you know, it was, there's so much more to tell you. We've got some photographs to sort out and to bring in probably next week and that, and just to share some more things with you. But thank you for all the work that you did. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for all the support you've given to the rest of the leadership whilst we've been away. And praise God, I trust you've had a great time. I shall get to know, I suppose, from each and every one of you. We've missed each other, that's a certainty. Even though we enjoyed our time, I mean, you've never seen pineapples this big, have you? This diameter. And, you know, they cut them, and it's liquid pineapple. They are so delicious. And avocados, this big. And they taste different to the ones in England. I mean, we had more avocados. We were like eating like kings and queens, I'll tell you. We had a time. And thank God we were able to minister to Dharma's sister and encourage her. And they were a real blessing to us. They were, and the house was open to us, and it was wonderful the way they'd opened their home to us, and the children were great, and we had a wonderful time in that. We thank God for that. And so it has been a real experience, and an experience that I wouldn't have missed for the world. And to be honest, I'm ready to go back again sometime soon. We met on the last day, we met a friend of Dharma's, Pastor Emmanuel, who Dharma left to cover the work that he started amongst the prostitutes, the girls who work the streets, Shalom Africa is part of. And we met with him and we listened to what was happening, and obviously it's a struggle because there's no government funding or anything of that nature. And we gave him a small gift at this time, but during the time that we've been there, we met some of these young people. And God gave me a word or two for some of these young people, and one in particular, I felt the Lord tell me that she was going to work with these type of girls because of her own personal experiences. And so I introduced them together on that last day. They exchanged phone numbers and that. And it's something that we need to look at in the future as a church. Where we've been, the churches where we've been to, I mean, the main church, well, the church in Remira, where we did most of the ministry, the people there, they are planning to build a 2,000-seater and then develop it on to a 10 and 20,000-seater. It's near the airport. They're going to have hotels and a shopping complex. They only want 60 million to do it. only 60 million. And in one sense, and this is not yet trying to be negative anyway, but with what they're doing, you know, God is working through them, and that's great. And I think financially, they're in a pretty good position. But when you look at some of the other smaller works, you see the needs there, and you think our giving can be monitored, and we can see what's happening, and it's changing lives. Not that they're not changing lives. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, we can see where, you know, the amount that, although we're not big and you give graciously and wonderfully well, that amount we can look at and we can see where it's gone to, and we can see that it's done a work somewhere. Whereas probably with the Apostles' Church situation, it would just fall into a building project and development, which is not a bad thing, but it would be just a drop in the ocean to them. Whereas when we look at a smaller work where there's a need, it's that small amount becomes a massive amount to them, and it actually helps the work. In fact, whilst I was talking with this Pastor Emmanuel, he was talking about, you know, the girls are not educated because after a certain age, everybody has to pay to go through school. And it's not cheap. And so I was listening to him, and he said, you know, but what we're looking at is trying to maybe get the girls involved in hairdressing salon and a beauty, doing nails, etc. It's a big thing. The African ladies like to have all their extensions in and everything, don't they, you know, and their nails done and everything. And so I said, I sort of listened to what he'd got to say, and I said, look, come back to me with a plan. Find out how much you can rent a building for. find out much how much you need to set up. I said, you know, and the girls, and what girls you've got that can do this. I said, and let me have some information. Because maybe for a small amount, we can actually set up a salon in Kigali, run by Christian girls, who actually from that can earn a wage, which will keep them off the streets. You know, maybe it'll be Harvest Fields Boutique in Kigali. You know, I mean, hey, and from that one, you can develop another one. And from those two, you can develop another one. And it's provided. You see, the aim really is that is not to just give out money to just keep them from doing what they're doing, but it's actually to give money so that they can create for themselves the opportunities and abilities to create their own wealth. As a country, it's not a poor country, is it? And when you look at all that is there, and the land potential for growing, you know, when the world talks about famine, we are not utilizing fully all that God has given to us. In that country and in that climate where it stays around about 22 to 28 degrees all year round, and they literally get 12 hours of sunshine every day of every year, you know, it's like they can have two or three growing seasons of produce. And so there is an abundance in the place, really, for the future, and their fruit and their crops are fantastic. And there's such a potential, but you see, the problem is it's corrupt men at the top, which just sadly is what happens, and that steal and rob and cheat. But in reality, and that goes right through the world. I'm not talking about Africa. I'm talking about the right through the world. You know, God has made provision for everybody. There is no shortage on this earth. There is no shortage. When we go to Romania, you see fields not used. Nothing wrong with them. They don't have the equipment anymore to plough the fields and put the crops in. So, you know, it's a basket, a food basket for Europe. Rwanda is a food basket waiting to be just reaped in one sense. And it's a, you know, tremendous opportunities are there yet. Dharma's brother is in road building. Yeah. Well, he'll never be out of a job. Because when we flew over in daylight, you look and you think, he'll never be out of a job. But they're going to do the main routes initially, I suppose, but after that, there's still hundreds of roads, and as things develop to be built, he'll never be out of a job. So the potential out there is absolutely fantastic if it's in the hands of the right people. And, you know, I said to them, I said, you need to pray. I said, you lot need to pray for our nation. I said, we as a nation sent out missionaries into Africa, and the result of it is you today. I said, you now need to be praying for our nation, because our nation needs missionaries. And we need our nation to get back to God. And so it was just been a fabulous time we've had. And I don't know what else to say at the moment. It was just a fantastic time. You missed it, Dharma. That's all I've got to say, man. You missed it, mate. Absolutely. Ah, well, hey, wait a minute. You took off and went the other way. The thing was that, you know, we look back at this. It's great when you can look back and think. And, you know, we were at that point when Dharma had to go to Canada to see his mother. Because we were told at that time she only had a few days to live. And we prayed and he went. And we were thinking, well, maybe this is not the timing for the trip. But God gave us a word and said, full steam ahead. So we went. We were expecting Dharma to hold our hands. Well, instead God held them and he did a good job. And the great answer to the thing is, though, that when Dharma went to Canada, his mother improved in health and strength, and she's still alive today. Yes. Praise God. And, you know, it's an answer to prayer at this time. You see, we serve a mighty God. We serve a wonderful living Saviour. And we serve a God that's, you know, that will take care of us no matter where we are and what we're doing. And the ultimate thing is that we have to learn to walk in obedience. And as we walk in obedience to the Word of God, I said to them, you know, I said, I've stopped calling myself a Christian. And I could see their mouths drop. You know, bless them, you know, we can all get a bit religious at times, and their mouths drop. And stop calling yourself a Christian? Who we got here? And then I explained to them, I said, I'm a disciple. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all men. He didn't say go and make Christians. The world called them Christians. Well, I want to hear what God calls me. A disciple, a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they grabbed hold of that. They grabbed hold of that one and said, yeah, that's true. We're disciples. You know, we're not Christians, we're disciples. We're disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, like in an army, you have to have the discipline. You have to have march together in unity and in strength. And you cover one another's back and you pray for one another, encourage one another. And so we just thank God for the time that we had there. And we just praise God for it. And there are people saying, you're not going back, are you? It's like, yeah, got to go back, got things to do. Got to go back to church and what have you. So, but what we've done so far is we've on some of the money that you gave to us, we've given some of that away. One to Pastor Emmanuel and to a couple of young people that we felt God was saying to us that we needed to bless them. We came back, we brought some money back with us. It's still earmarked for Africa, because I'm waiting for the information on this other project. Because, as you know, if I give £1, I want to see where it goes. If I give £100, I want to see where it goes. I want to see that, and you guys, you give so generously. You're not rich, we're not rich, but we have a rich God. And we have a responsibility. I feel that I have a great responsibility that when we give to the right needs. And we give to the right areas, and we want to be able to follow through and see that we can go back sometime later and we can see that what you gave has actually multiplied. It didn't just dissipate into nothing, but it's actually brought something. It's birthed life and it's multiplied and it's given life and it's given help to the right sort of people, and we can see the hand of God. And so at this time, the money is on ice, earmarked for Africa. So just want to let you know, because I know you gave towards this project willingly, gladly, without much of an appeal in any way. And it's still coming in, is it? Well, thank God for that. So I'm sharing with you really what's happened, where we're at, what we've done with the finance. And so we've just kept that on one side at this time, because I feel there is a project there. But on this trip, we didn't quite totally connect with it. I think we were looking at very many things. But I could see with Pastor, with his young women, that there's a potential to set up a small shop somewhere, rent a premise, and create job opportunities for these young women that will keep them off the streets, will feed the families, and, praise God, do a work in their lives. Amen. So that's going to be possibly the next project that we're praying towards, and we're just, as I say, waiting for that news to come back to us, and maybe I'll have to go out and just oversee it again. Glory to Jesus. Honestly, it gives you a great experience in going abroad. You know, it really shows you something powerful about the things that God is doing. And I just want to encourage you, get a passport. You know, even if you only go to Romania with us, get a passport. Go to Romania with us and see the hand of God moving. See what God is doing. And see, you know, that everything's bigger than what we've got. You know, we're an island, and that's a big problem. Because an island people get small-minded. There's a world out there. And God is doing great things. You know, I said to the people out in Africa, you know, we sent out missionaries to Africa. We sent out missionaries to China. The underground church is birthed out of, in one sense, from the China mission. When Hudson Taylor went out there and he became a Chinese man, basically. He lived like them. He was just totally like they were. And he then birthed the China Inland Mission and sent out these missionaries into China. And China now has got the biggest church. You know, the underground church is so massive in one sense. And God's at work. Sometimes we don't see things happening in our own country very much. We see the opposite. But in the world, God is moving. And it will be the turn of England. It will be our turn. We have to stay faithful to God, and we believe that God will do great and mighty things. Amen? You know, we've got to push through. I tell you, you need to come with us to Africa and actually catch some of what the Africans have got. Some of that bounce, I tell you, it's oh, glory to God. Then they started, hallelujah, I was in my element. I just loved it, hallelujah. It was wonderful. So thank you again for your support. Thank you for all you've done here whilst we've been away. Thank you for your prayers for us. It certainly worked. And we praise God for the opportunity that is given to us. And we believe more doorways are actually opening up. When we left, the apostle said to us, next time, I want you to go to Burundi, I want you to go to Uganda, and I want you to go to Congo, because we got churches there. And I like went, huh? Okay. Whatever God's going to do, we will follow, because I believe that God wants to do great and mighty things. And I believe there's a future in Harvest Fields and the things. You know, we called it Harvest Fields. We didn't call it Harvest Field. We called it Harvest Fields, because the fields are white unto harvest. And I just don't want one field. I want as many fields as we can plough, reap and sow in Jesus' name. Just a couple of scriptures I want to share with you. And really it's from Matthew chapter 25. And it's the story of the parable of the talents. And the ruler goes away and he gives to his servants. Yeah. He gives them talents. So he goes off to a far country. Unto one, he says in verse 15 of Matthew 25, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man, according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. You know, at the moment it might be that Grace and I are travelling. And at the moment some of you feel that, well, you can't go for whatever reason at this time. But at the same time, God has given you talents. Amen. He's given you gifts. Amen. He's given you abilities. And in some cases, they may not be used in Africa. They might be used in Romania. They might be used somewhere else. They might just be used here at home. Amen. Because home is just as important, Amen, as wherever we are sent to go. And so it may be that for us, God has given us that talent to go out. That's been my calling since the age of 18. And so that is something that I'm beginning now to see God fulfilling in my life. But I have been faithful for I don't know how many years in doing what I must do at home. Amen. And sharing the word and encouraging many people and seeing many people healed over the years. Amen. And set free. And I thank God for that. And it's been a case of using my talents that God has given me to use them here now. And I've been using them for years. And you know, when it says that when the ruler came back, he called them in and said, what have you done? And you know, he said the one with 5 had gained another 5 by the fact that he'd given of himself and he'd inputted into wherever he was at that point in time. And his master was pleased and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And the other one had 2 talents, and he came back and he had gained 2 more. And his master was absolutely delighted with him. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm going to make you ruler over 10 cities, he said to the first one. To the other, I'm going to make you ruler over 4, you know. And so the story goes on in that vein. And then to the one who had 1 talent, he said, oh God, I knew you were a fearful master, and that you reaped where you hadn't sown, and etc. And so the story goes. I want to be brief because of time. You read it. And so he says, I just buried it. Yeah. Are you listening? Yeah. I just buried it. And the master says, well, you're wicked. You could have at least put it in a bank, and it would have gained some interest. You know. Now, God has given you talents. He might have given you 1 talent. He might have given you 2 talents. He might have given you 4 talents, 5 talents, whatever he's given you. He's given you for a purpose to use them. And when he gives to you, he will give you also an increase as you give back to him. As you use what God has given you, he will increase it. Don't be like the wicked servant who the master said in the end, take it from him, give it to the one who has 10, and cast this servant into outer darkness. Hand him over to the tormentors. I don't want to be handed over to the tormentors. I want to hear, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay, I'll make a few mistakes probably along the way. But it won't be without trying to hear that voice, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want to just encourage you, even if you've only at this time, you feel you've only got 1 talent that God has given you, use it. Don't bury it, use it. And don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back. When I was a young boy and a teenager, I was fearful. I used to have butterflies as big as elephants in my stomach when I had to stand out in front of people. I was not an upfront person. I would always wish to work behind the leadership and be supportive to the leadership. That was always my desire. That was always my plan. That was always, if you want, my goal, because I didn't feel I was the upfront man. I didn't want to be upfront. And then God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And he baptized me with power. Amen. And I began to change. And a spiritual boldness began to come over me. Amen. And this last 3 weeks, I've stood in front of the biggest crowds I've ever stood in front of. And when God is with you, Amen. You can stand before the biggest crowd you've ever seen and have no fear. But have faith in God and have faith in the gift that God has placed within you, and you release it that God might bless the people that he has brought into that place at that time. Amen. And so what I want to say to you is that start to use whatever talent you've got. Amen. You start using it now. Yes. Use it for the glory of God. Let the word of God be your life source. Let this gift that God has given you begin to use it. Don't hold back. Use it for his glory. And you will see yourself grow. And the talents that God has given you, they will grow. Don't limit yourself and don't limit God. Take the limits off, you know. And just let's rev all the way through. Glory to God and push through with the things that God has given us. Because he wants to use each and every one of you. You know, I mean, Ken will tell you how he's changed. Yeah. Why has he changed? Because of the power of God and the Holy Spirit and the Word working in his life. And at the same time, opportunities are given. And we give opportunities to everybody. Yeah. We want to see the body grow. We want to see your talents grow. We want to see your abilities grow. Even you know, we might go on a mission as we grow. I might go on a mission one day, one way, and you might be going on a mission another way. Hallelujah. But that's okay, because it's harvest fields. We've got fields that are white unto harvest. Yeah. And we believe in God for great things in the future. And that, you know, one day we will hear when we arrive in the presence of the King of Kings. And he will see what, we, you know, he will bring out what we've done that we didn't even realize what we've done. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we shall cast our crowns before him and rejoice in his presence. Hallelujah. And he will give you your rewards. We're not looking for earthly rewards. We're just looking to see lives touched and changed and healed in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thanks.